Luke 13, we'll be reading verses 1 through 9 this morning. When you've found your place, if you're able, please stand as we read the Word this morning. Luke chapter 13, verse number 1 through 9. There were present at that season some that told him of the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answering said unto them, Suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans because they suffered such things? I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Right. Or those 18 upon whom the tower of Siloam fell and slew them, think ye that they were sinners above all men that dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish.
Right.
He spake also this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and sought fruit thereon, and found none. Then said he unto the dresser of this vineyard, Behold, these 3 years I came seeking fruit of this fig tree, and found none. Cut it down. Why cumbereth it the ground? And he, answering, said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig about it, and dung it. And if after it bear fruit, well. And if it not, then after that thou shalt cut it down. Lord, I thank you for the day. I thank you for, Lord, your Word. I thank you for the preserved Word of God that we can read and study. And like Paul said, we can open it and we can allege it. We can expound upon it. And Lord, I thank you for that. And Lord, I thank you for all the individuals and families that's come together this morning. I pray that you'll bless them. I pray that you'll give them something this morning. Encourage, touch hearts and lives. And Lord, may you just rend the heavens, Lord, and come down and save souls, Lord. We're looking for that. We're expecting that. And Lord, I just pray that you'll help me this morning as I teach and preach. And Lord, that you'll help me to, Lord, have clarity of mind. And Lord, give what you've given to me. And Lord, anything that I don't need to say, Lord, just help me to hold it back. Lord, may you just, Lord, have preeminence, Lord, in the service today. May you get honor and glory out of everything that's said and done, and we'll praise you in Jesus' name.
Amen.
You may be seated. Luke 13, we're going to entitle this message, One More Year of Mercy.
Amen.
One More Year of Mercy. This, as we begin year 2022, as I said Wednesday night, it just seems like yesterday we were at the end of 2020, and we were talking about going into 2021, and now it just seems like yesterday we're looking back at 2021 and heading into 2022. And as I reflected on 2021, I realized how good God had been to us, how good He had been to me, how good He'd been to my family. I look back and, you know, we had some issues. One of them had a back, and you know, hurting, and then some headaches on another, and then having to put up with me. And Lord, He's just been good to my family in 2021. And then I thought about the church, how good God's been, and how there in August or September, whenever it was, the virus just kind of swept through the church, and seemed like everybody was out and everybody was gone. Some went in the hospital, but God was good, and he gave us mercy, and He gave us grace, and He brought everybody back, and we didn't lose anybody, you know. And He's just been He's been good, and He's protected us. And when I look going into this tax season, I look and I see how the Lord's provided and how He's given everybody seemingly good jobs, and nobody's been without meals. Nobody's here hungering this morning. If they are, it's because it's probably on a diet. But everybody has had food this morning, and God's just been, He's been good to us in 2021, and I believe He's going to keep on being good to us in 2022. So when I looked on it, I said, one more year of mercy. You know, we looked at the physical things. We looked at our sicknesses, and we looked at the way He's provided for us. But I looked at one more year of mercy.
Amen.
How spiritually, how He's protected us one more year. He let us live one more year. And sometimes we take that too lightly. You know, we take it all too lightly. I didn't expect to get a call from Brother Pascal on a Wednesday afternoon. Of course, there in August we had the virus or we had something and we were sick and I missed church that Sunday and so I thought everything was okay and then I get a call from Brother Pascal on Wednesday and he said I'm headed to the hospital, and I could tell in his voice he wasn't sounding too good. And he said, "Are you ready?" And I said, "Yes, sir, I'll be ready." And I didn't know that Sunday. I didn't know that Wednesday that he was going to be in the hospital. We just presume that everything is going to be okay. We presume that we've got forever. We presume that everything's going to be okay. But God's been good to us to allow it that way. You know, Brother Tim, he said it many times. He said, "I don't know what it is about this church," but he said, "Seems like everybody in this church is protected, and seems like nothing ever happens to anybody in this church." And we take that so lightly sometimes, and we don't, you know. Now, if something does happen, it's not God's fault. It's just that He's good to us. And if we're not careful, we take advantage of that and we presume on the goodness and the long-suffering and the faithfulness of God. But I think about one more year of mercy, holding back that wrath, not only for another day, not only for another week, but for a whole year, 2021, one more year of mercy.
Amen.
One more year of mercy. Now, when I look at this Luke 13 here, as you know, we... first of all, we looked at this parable here. It's the parable of the barren fig tree, or sometimes people call it the fruitless tree. And now, in context, I believe that the Lord here he's talking about the nation of Israel and how that they were planted among the nations and they were supposed to be fruitful and they were supposed to be a light to all other nations. And He kept coming back and He found no fruit, But I want to apply it to us today. I want to apply it to the individual today. Not as a nation, but I want to apply it to us. See, when it came to pass that Jesus, he came to this here, and it seems like these people came up to Him and they were telling Him all about these Galileans. He said that there were present at that season some that told Him of the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus said unto them, "Suppose ye that these Galileans were sinner above all Galileans?" See, in those days, the Jews had this thought that if something bad was to happen to you, it was because that you've done some kind of great sin, or that you had done something wrong and that it was punishment for you. And we know that because in John chapter 9, verse number 1 through 3, it says, "And Jesus passed by, and He saw a man which was blind from his birth. And His disciples asked Him, saying, 'Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?'" Mm-hmm. They just automatically, just their tradition and their way of thinking, they automatically thought somebody had to have done something wrong for this child to be born blind. But Jesus answered, "Neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him."
Right.
They said, nobody's done anything wrong. This was for a purpose. I had to come by this way, and I had to do this for everybody else to see. So it's the Jews that day had a wrong thinking. They thought that the calamity or hardship means that they were full of sin, and that's not the case, and that's not the case today. You know, all those people in Mayfield and all those people at Cambridge Shores, you know, there were some imperfect people out there, but that event did not mean that everybody over there was wicked and idolatrous. That just means that somehow, some way, all things work together for good. And we don't know what that is, but somehow, some way, God's going to speak to somebody. He's going to speak to some people. He's going to do something through all that.
Amen.
And we don't know when it's going to be. It may be tomorrow. It may be 10 years from now. We don't know when it is, but God works all things together for good. And that's what he was trying to explain to them here. So Jesus, he replies to the Jews in verse number 2. And he said, "Were these Galileans worse than the others?" He says, "Nay, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish."
Right.
See, there were two sad stories here, and these are truly sad stories. We see that the Galileans here, and then we see that there was 18 whom the Tower of Siloam fell. That was a tragedy. I mean, that's a sad story. But Jesus, the stories were meant to get their attention, but instead of focusing on the catastrophe, the Jews wanted to know who sinned, whose fault was it, why did this happen? But what we have to realize is that it's God wants to work through things to reveal certain things to us.
Right.
And like I said, God works all things together for good. For if it had been for sin, we would all be in trouble, because Romans 3:23 says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. If God gave us what we deserve, we would all be in hell right now, every one of us. So it's the goodness of God. Sudden deaths and calamities like this in Luke 13, they should make us pay attention and take inventory about the mercy and the goodness that God has given us. But often, too many times, once the sudden shock wears off, it's gone. We just forget about it. We forget about it. We just take things for granted. But first of all, here we see the details of this parable. He spake. It says in verse number 6, after he said, "Nay, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish." He said that twice. And then verse number 6, when he gets into the parable, he says, "And he spake also this parable." So this is around the same time when these people were coming up to him, and he said, "Nay, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish." It says, "He spake also this parable." It lets us know that this was near the same time, probably a lot of the same people involved, and it regarded the same subject matter. He's talking about repentance. He said, "Nay, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish."
Right.
So he's talking about repentance here. And of course, repentance, we know, is a change of mind, a change of direction, a change of heart, taking up sides with God against yourself.
Right.
And it's impossible for you to do it on your own. You'll never want to take up sides against yourself with God. That's why we have to have that power, that word we talked about this morning, the dunamis, the power of God, and the Holy Spirit has to be a work of God. That's all there is to it.
Right.
But it says here that he spake by a parable. Now, we know that through Jesus' earthly ministry, he spake by prophecies. He talked about prophecies, and he spake about past events. He spoke with present events. As we see here, he makes an illustration based on this, the Tower of Siloam and these Galileans. But he also spoke by parables. And parables is there's several different meanings. It's an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. It's a window through which we see truth. It gives an illustration or it's something that gives a word picture.
Right.
It's just something you use to teach and try to show people something. And Jesus was gracious enough to use things that the people in that present day understood. Now, we saw that several months ago, we talked on the seed and the sower. He used that because in those days, that was something that they could wrap their mind around, something that they could understand about a sower going out and throwing seed on the wayside and good ground. And those are things they understood, so that's what Jesus used. It was the goodness of God. He could have very well used something that they didn't understand or have a clue about. But he was good to them to use present situations and things they understood to try to teach them a lesson. He does the same things to us.
Sure does.
Things happen in our lives that we don't currently understand, but if we pay attention and we meditate on it, we'll see that God's been teaching us this whole time.
Right.
He's been teaching us this whole time. So the parable of the barren and fruitless fig tree. So We want to see here, we want to look at the, we looked at the context, that was the context, and we want to look at the characters here in this parable. Now, it says here in verse number 6, it says, He spake also this parable, it says, a certain man, a certain man. Now, when they use that in the Bible, that means that this was a certain man that it actually did happen. But we want to the certain man. We want to make that be God. We want to say this certain man that's coming to his vineyard. We want to say that is God the Father. And as I said, this fig tree in context, it's Israel. But I want to apply it to us. I want to apply it to individuals, to hearers, to those that currently enjoy the goodness of God. And that is us. Because see, man is several times in the Bible, he's compared to a tree. He's compared to a tree. And Psalms 1, verse number 3 says, And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water.
Right.
And Lamentations 11:3 talks about a tree being cut down. He says, in the place that tree lieth, there it's going to be. He's talking about it in death. When that tree dies, wherever it lays, that's where it's going to be. There's no after death. That's it. That's the last opportunity. So man is compared to a tree. The vineyard, there again, the vineyard, if the fig tree is Israel, the vineyard is the whole world of nations, But the vineyard here, it says that the person was planted in this vineyard, and I want to make the vineyard the church,
yeah.
The vineyard the church. A vineyard is a plantation where things are given extra care; they're encouraged to grow everything that they're needed. A vineyard, Brother Gary, several years ago we tried to do grapes out there, and we couldn't ever get them things to grow. And I kept asking Brother Gary, "What am I doing wrong? What am I doing wrong?" And we just never could get them to grow. But a vineyard is a place where extra care is given for things to grow and flourish. You want it to do that way. It doesn't say it was in an orchard. It says it was in a vineyard. And so I want to categorize that as the vineyard being the church. And now verse number 7. We meet somebody else. It's the dresser. The dresser. Verse number 7, it says, Then said he unto the dresser of his vineyard. Now, the dresser is the one that is familiar with these types of plants. He knows exactly what they need. He knows exactly what needs to be done to get it to grow. One that is familiar with that. It's one that also works and labors in that vineyard. So we want to say that that's the Holy Spirit. The dresser is the Holy Spirit. So we see in John 16 talks about the Holy Spirit, and we read some of it this morning, but John 16, verse number 7 through 13. John 16, 7 through 11, it says, Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and ye see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. That's the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, the dresser that we're wanting to see here, the Comforter. One that word Comforter means one that comes to your aid, a helper, one that's an advocate that we talked about the other night, an advocate, one that pleads your case. That's the Comforter, one that can come to the dresser. That's who we want to say that is, the dresser. And we see here that in similar to other years, the husbandman came looking for fruit. Now that's something that in harvest time, that's something that you should expect. You should expect the person to come and his vineyard looking for fruit. But it says here that he found none. He didn't find any fruit. So we want to see not only the details of the parable, but we want to see the demands in this parable. Verse number 7, it says, Then said he unto the dresser of this vineyard, Behold, these 3 years I came seeking fruit of this fig tree and found none. Cut it down. Why cumbereth it the ground? basically he's saying, I've come and there's no fruit and just cut it down. I could use this spot for somebody else that's going to be more fruitful. Somebody that's going to produce more fruit than what this tree is. Just cut it down. Why cumber it the ground? I'm wasting stuff on it. Why cumber it the ground? He says these 3 years. I've read a lot of commentaries, and sometimes it's kind of comical to see how people take types just to a real extreme. I saw some that said he came 3 years because he came once for the Father, and then he came once for the Son, and he came once for the Holy Spirit. I think that's just maybe taking it a little too far, but these 3 years, the number three means is completeness is the number three, and Jesus was 3 years his earthly ministry, so I believe that's just when he says he's 3 years, he's just meaning that he keeps coming, he keeps being good, but there's no fruit. It says, why cut it down? Now, why would he cut it down? He would cut it down first because this tree had privilege. This tree had privilege. Verse number 6, and said, a fig tree was planted in this vineyard. Planted in the vineyard. Now, this is not like in the parable of the sower. This is not just throwing out seed on the wayside. It says this was planted. Care was taken to put this tree in this vineyard. It was a privilege that not all had.
That's true.
Do you realize that we are a privileged people?
That's right.
God has graciously given us truth. We've had a laborer here for 35, 36 plus years. You were planted here. You were led by God and planted here. Whether you know it or not, you were planted here. You have a privilege that many people don't have.
That's right.
We have meetings and we have people that drive miles to come here. We have people from England that comes here because we believe this is where God's going to meet with us in truth.
Amen.
And y'all have been, we've been planted here. I've been planted here. It's a privilege. God has given us a pasture, given us truth. He just keeps blessing. He keeps taking care of us, keeps giving us mercy. What a privilege.
Amen.
So he has a right and he has a demand for fruit. It's his prerogative. Romans 3, verses 1 and 2. He says, what advantage then hath the Jew? Or what profit is there of circumcision? Verse number 2 says, much every way, chiefly because that unto them were committed the oracles of God.
Right.
The oracles of God. That's basically the Word of God, the spoken Word of God, the utterance of God. He's spoken to you many, many times here at the church.
Yes, sir.
Whether you know it or not, he's spoken to you. That's a privilege. He has a right to cut that tree down because it had privileges that there was no fruit given. What a privilege. Others would trade places with you in a minute if they could. They people that have no church, people that have no truth, a lot of people don't even know what a church is. But yet we've been a part of it for 30 some odd years. And what a privilege that we've had. Do we recognize it? Do we realize the privilege that we've had? Not only do I see privilege, but I see a purpose. Verse number 7, it says, behold, these 3 years have I came seeking fruit. As I said, those 3 years he came by. He came by every year. There's purpose. How many times has the Holy Spirit walked these aisles? How many times have you been touched? How many times have you, I would say for me, it's not nearly as much as I would hope, but it's not God's fault, it's my fault.
Right.
But there's a purpose. He kept coming looking for fruit. And God just keeps on coming. He keeps on visiting us. He keeps on speaking. He keeps on blowing through. It may not be as big as what we would want, but He touches hearts.
Right.
He touches lives. You know, when I see a special, or I see hands go up and I see tears, and that lets me know that God's still speaking. He's still working. He's still working. He's still touching hearts. Despite the privilege and the goodness and the favor, this tree brought forth no fruit. So the instruction was, cut it down. Cut it down. Why? Because to whom much is given, much is required. And to me, that's one of the probably one of the scariest verses in the Bible, if you think about it. Luke 12:48, but he that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required. And to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more. Those of us sitting here at New Hope, we've got a lot that's required of us.
Right.
We've heard more than most. We've been visited by God more than most. So much is required of us.
Exactly.
May we be faithful with what we've been given. Like I said, it's a deep verse if you think about it. We've been privileged, so there's a lot asked of us. A lot asked of us. God has blessed us at New Hope, so He asks for fruit. Luke 10, verses 13 through 15. it says, woe unto thee, Chorazin! Woe unto thee, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works had been done in Tyre and Sidon, which had been done in you, they had a great while ago repented, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the judgment than for you. And thou, Capernaum, which art exalted to heaven, thou shalt be thrust down to hell. I don't want that to say, woe unto you, New Hope. But God has been good to us. He's given us a lot. So may we, in turn, bring forth lots of fruit, because He has been good to us. So we see the details of the parable. We see the demands in the parable. But thank the Lord, we also see a delay in this parable. Verse number 8, it says, and he answering said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig about it and dung it. This is delayed judgment.
That's right.
Delayed judgment.
Yeah.
You see, we deserve judgment. We see judgment is delayed. Delayed. He didn't ask. He didn't say, Lord, never cut it down. Never cut it down. He didn't say that. He said, but Lord, just not now. Not now, Lord. Just give them a little more time. Please don't cut it down right now. Just give them a little longer. What he was saying was, Lord, give them more time. Bear with them just a little bit longer. That word delay does not mean pardon. It doesn't mean by him delaying it that he's pardoning you. That wrath is still there. It's still there. That John 3 says that wrath abideth. It's still there. Basically, what he's saying is he's saying, please just give them a little more time. Dig around it. Let me dung around it a little bit more. Let me speak to them just a little bit more. Let me try to work with them.
Yeah.
That dresser, like I said, it's one that's familiar with them. He knows what they need. He knows what it's supposed to accomplish. So he's saying, just give me a little bit longer just to woo them and throw meat to them just a little bit longer to try to draw them to myself. Just this year also, just give them a little bit more time. May we never presume, though, on the forbearance and the long-suffering of God.
Right.
Romans 2:4 says, or despisest thou the riches of His goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance?
Right.
That forbearance and that long-suffering and that goodness, it says it's to lead us to repentance. That's what it's for. That's what it's for.
Mm-hmm.
2 Peter 3:9 says, the Lord is not slack concerning His promises, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. See, he's He's long-suffering to us. He's good to us. He's gracious to us. He's given us more mercy, more time for the Holy Spirit to woo us and to work on us. But I'm afraid that if we're not careful, a lot of times we get stiff-necked and say, we're not gonna do it. Like Jeremiah 6:16, he said, walk in those old paths. Therefore, we find a way, and they said, we will not.
That's right.
They were stiff-necked. They said, we are not going to do it.
That's right.
The Holy Spirit is working with us, digging us and dunging it, giving us the things that we need. And if we're not careful, we're not sensitive enough, and we're too busy to listen to what He's saying and to obey it, and we just get stiff-necked. And
that's right.
Then at that point, there's nothing else that can be done. You get stiff-necked and you turn away the light that God's given. He's not going to be able to give you more light because you're not following the light that He's already given.
That's right.
And then at that point, it's not going to be God's fault.
No.
It's going to be our fault because they're human responsibility. We didn't do what we were asked, and we didn't do what we were told. Like I said, we won't be able to point our finger at God and say, God, You didn't give me a chance. He's given us all light.
Right.
That dresser has came and he's digged and he's dung. He's put down fertilizer. He's encouraged growth. He's given us everything. He's given us preachers come by this way 4, 5, 6 times a year. Those years Brother Tim came, sometimes he came more than that. Brother Charles has come by. Lord, we've had the choicest
right.
preachers. We've had more. What else could you ask for? That dresser has digged and he's dunged but he says one more year, just this year also, just give him a little bit more time. I beg you, just give him a little bit more time.
Amen.
Just a little bit more time. That's what he's asking for. You see, there was judgment was deserved. It says Matthew 3:10, it says, every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. It was deserved. We deserve judgment. As I said, if we got what we deserved, we would all be in hell right now. Every one of us deserved judgment. But then we see delayed judgment. He said, let it alone this year also. But then we also see in verse number 8, we see deflected judgment. Deflected judgment. Judgment turned away just one more year. One more year, and that was because the interceding of someone.
Amen.
Psalms 106, I should have marked that. Psalms 106 talks about Moses, and Moses is a type of God in a way. And Psalms 106, verse number 23, it says, therefore he said that he would destroy them, had not Moses, his chosen, stood before him in the breach to turn away his wrath, lest he should destroy them. If we didn't have an intercessor right now, we'd be cut down and cast into hell. But that intercessor that we talked about Wednesday night, he ever liveth to make intercession for us. He said, just give me just a little bit longer to work on them, to give them just a little bit more. So it was deserved judgment. It was delayed judgment. But then it was still a declared judgment. Declared judgment. Verse number 9, it says, if it bear fruit, well. And if not, then after thou shalt cut it down. He said, we're gonna deflect it. We're going to this one time. But I'll declare to you that judgment is coming. Just one more year of mercy. He said, Lord, please just give me more time. Let me dig about it. Let me dung it just a little bit longer. Let me try to woo them. Let me try just a little bit longer. And then he declared the judgment.
That's right.
He said, if it bear fruit, well, that means good. But if not, then after that thou shalt cut it down. Romans 14:12 says, so then every one of us shall give account of himself to God.
That's right.
There's coming a time. Judgment right now has been held back. It's been delayed. It's been deflected because of our great intercessor. But there will come a time when judgment will come.
That's right.
And so we don't need to presume on God and just think that He's always going to hold back that wrath. We need to get serious, and we need to get on our knees before God and plead for mercy. Just fall on the mercy of the court where we deserve this judgment. We deserve it. In closing, though He's patient, He's loving, He's merciful, and He's long-suffering, there will come a time when He'll cut that tree down. And we said in Lamentations 11, verse number 3, that wherever that tree lands, that's where it's going to lie.
Right.
There won't be any second chances. No. Wherever that tree lies, that's where it's going to be.
That's right.
On the flip side of the love of God, there's the justice and the judgment of God. That's just a fact. I don't like it just as much as you do, but each quarter's got two sides, and there's a love of God, but on the flip side, He's a God of love, so He has to be justice and judgment. But He's long-suffering. It says, "My spirit shall not always strive with man." I read in the book of Genesis there, chapter 7, where God, He basically said, I'm tired of them. I'm going to destroy the whole world with flood. I'm going to destroy them all. But it says Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord.
Right.
And He told Noah, He said, "Noah, I want you to build an ark because I need a remnant. I want you to build the ark, and your family is going to get on that ark." So for 75 years, that hammer was ringing through those valleys as He built that ark.
Yep.
It says, flood's coming. Judgment is coming. Judgment is coming. And it says that He was a preacher of righteousness.
That's right.
We don't see where He preached any messages, but it says He was a preacher of righteousness by His actions, by what He did. It was a message to the world around Him that judgment is coming. Get ready for it. It's coming. God give them time. He give them maybe 75, 80 years. He give them time while that ark was a building. He give them time. 1 Peter 3:20. It talks about this a little bit. 1 Peter 3, verse number 20, it says, when once the long-suffering of God waited, the long-suffering waited in the days of Noah,
that's right,
while the ark was a preparing. You say, well, judgment. God destroyed them all. He didn't give them a chance. No, He gave them 75 years while that ark was a preparing. They had time to get with Noah. They had time to know what was coming. He gave them 75 years. And then it also says in Genesis 7 that even when the animals started coming two by two to the ark, after they were in the ark, He gave them 7 more days on top of that.
7 more days.
They had to have known something was going on when these animals start going to this ark. But God gave them 7 more days on top of that. He's merciful. Will judgment come? Yes, but mingled in that judgment is the mercy of God. He's given us all time. He's given us all opportunities. We'll never be able to say, "God, you didn't give me long enough. You didn't give me a chance." In Noah's day, He gave them 75 years. And then after the ark was loaded, ready to go, I believe that door was open for 7 more days.
Yeah.
No doubt Noah might have been hanging his head out saying, "Judgment's coming, judgment's coming." 7 more days.
That's right.
But there come a time when that door was shut. When that door was shut, it was too late.
Yeah.
I fear that we're gospel hardened. Our heart is hardened to the gospel. We've heard it so many times that sometimes I wish we could just forget it and just preach to me Jesus one more time. Just to hear it all anew once again.
Yeah.
We've heard it for years and years and years, and a lot of times we think, "Yeah, I know exactly what He's going to say. I've heard it all these years."
Right.
But like I said this morning, it hasn't come in power. and the Holy Spirit. But we see that the dresser said, one more year. Let me dig it and dung it one more year. Just give me one more year. One more year. Another year of mercy. And He gave us another year of mercy in 2021. Yeah. But we don't know what 2022 is going to hold.
That's right.
We don't know if that in 364 days next year, when we're standing here in 2023, if the Lord tarries, we don't know how many of us are still going to be sitting here. So we need to take advantage of the time God's given. And don't presume on the mercy and the long-suffering and forbearance of God, but do business with God when He speaks to you and when He does speak to you and give you a command. Don't harden your neck. Don't get stiff-necked and say, I don't want a Lord. I want to do it myself. Don't be that way. In 2022, may we respond when the Holy Spirit, not if, because I believe He's going to come to us, but when the Holy Spirit deals with you and when you can feel it, when He's digging it and when He's dunging it, when He's giving you the things that you need and encouraging you and giving you the things you need to grow, don't turn it aside. Respond to it the best you can. I think we said it was Brother Milby that had made the statement that when the Lord deals with you, go as far as you can and then stretch out just a little bit further. Just go a little bit further. So as we begin the new year, may we remember God's past mercies. In verse number 8, He said, this year also. That means that He's had mercy in prior years as well. This year also, remember how good He's been to give us mercy in 2020 and 2021 and all the way back to 1977 in my case. Yeah. He's been good in His past mercies. But then may we also, as we begin the new year, not only remember His past mercies, but His present mercy. Yeah. Right now, He's holding back that wrath. When the Holy Spirit's just saying, give me just a little, Lord, give me just a little bit more time. Don't cut it down just yet. Let me work on it just a little bit more. So we've got present mercy. He's holding back that wrath just a little bit longer. And then may we thank God for His mercy, for His goodness. And may we pray for ourselves and our loved ones that, Lord, give them more time. I've got family that's not here. So I need to intercede for them and say, Lord, give them more time.
Right.
Lord, just look a little bit longer. Work on them just a little bit more. Don't cut that tree down just yet. Give them just a little bit more time.
Amen.
They need an intercessor. God's praying for them. Or Jesus is praying for them. But may we pray for others. May we pray for ourselves. But may we pray for others and say, Lord, give them just a little bit more time. Mercy. One more year of mercy. May we in 2022, may we just get serious about God and not presume that the following year we're all still going to be here in the same situation. It's a lot of us have said we're seekers, and that's a good thing. But that shouldn't make us feel like we're any better than anybody else. We're still lost and undone. We still need God to work. We still need the Holy Spirit to dig around us and dung us and bring us. We still need that. May we in 2022 just get serious about God. More serious than we ever have before, and just pray that God would speak and work and that Word would be powerful and personal to us, because that's what we've got to have. One more year of mercy. I thank the Lord for being merciful to me another year.
Amen.
For holding back that wrath.
Amen.
And I pray that He would give people more time. More time. More time. Lord, I thank You for, Lord, Your goodness. And Lord, I thank You for, Lord, giving me more time. I thank You for, Lord, Your past years, Lord, Your the way You've been good, the way You've been merciful and holding back that wrath. And Lord, I don't want to presume on your goodness and your forbearance and your long suffering. And Lord, I don't like talking about judgment. It's not something that I like. But Lord, we need to realize, Lord, that there is coming a day when judgment's coming. So Lord, we need to be prepared for it. We need to get ready for it. But Lord, along with your judgment, Lord, you're a God of love. Lord, you're merciful. You judge the world, yes, by the flood, but you give them time and time and time. And so, Lord, the justice of God, Lord, came. But Lord, you're merciful. You're a God of love. And Lord, I thank you for both aspects. I thank you for your love, and I thank you for your judgment. But Lord, just help us here at New Hope, Lord, to thank you for the year of mercy that you've given us. And Lord, may it be this year, may it be a year of expectation. May it be a year of, Lord, you saving souls. Lord, may it be a year of Lord, bringing many sons to glory, as the verse is. Lord, we're expecting it, Lord. And Lord, I just can't wait to see it. And Lord, I just pray that you'll just work in hearts and lives, Lord. Lord, just go with us now. Pray that you'll speak to some heart. Lord, just encourage us, Lord, and help me. Just go with us now throughout the remainder of the service. In Jesus' name, amen.